The fearful became awful. The word awesome has been misused in our modern culture. It pertains to God alone, a sense of reverence or awe. And awful means filled with awe. How interesting the word has lost that original context. They were frightened because they lacked prayer. God was in their presence, but they were unaware of his divine ability and power. Sometimes too, if we do not pray, we do not understand how God wants us to perform or act in the world today. And to help us pray, we need silence. I marvelled the other night on Wednesday at the State of Origin match. It was a good match. At the outset of that game, there was a moment of silence for an Australian athlete, Ron Clark. And 80,000 Australians stood and beat silence, which enables one to pray for those whom you love. And then suddenly, within 15 or 20 seconds, some fellow began to yell and scream and carry on, which shattered the silence like glass. And that moment was lost. And I was annoyed that someone had been making a noise at that moment, because how dare he deprive others of that moment of silence? And yet it's common today that this generation or people today don't find silence comfortable. The apostles were uncomfortable with the silence of Christ. And today's silence in itself and of itself causes one to squirm. Why? Well, because I think people today are born into a world of noise and technology. From earliest age, the radio was playing, the TV on all day. And if not the TV, it's the iPad or the iPod in the ears. And of course, one sleeps with their phone, not their teddy bear, under their pillow. Technology is everywhere. Noise is constant. And when one has a moment of silence, they think something's wrong. Something's not happening. Something's broken. What's going on? We need to click off to the world of technology, because that's not the real world. It's an artificial world. Facebook is not factual. There may be facts put on it, but it's a barrier between us and reality. Silence connects you to reality. Silence enables you to probe and ponder who you are and where you are going. Silence enables you to connect to God. As your modem connects you to the internet, so too silence through prayer connects us to God. And that's how we ought to function. And then when we're connected to God in prayer, we can perform as God wants us to. Because we then know the will of God and we receive the grace to act upon it. But all this involves patience. The apostles were impatient on the boat, and the boat's a symbol of the church. And how many people today in the church, around the church, are impatient because the church is not doing what it wants, when it wants, how it wants? I think perhaps God's no longer with us. He's there. He just wants us to pray more. God has his time. God requires of us much patience. Look at Job, not Job, perhaps the oldest book in the Bible. A fascinating story, a moral narrative about human suffering and the mystery of pain. How to answer it? God makes Job wait. Counselors come and go. His wife departs. Issues emerge. No word from God for 38 chapters in that book. It's a long book. God bids his silence, and then he answers at the very end. And Job is satisfied and rewarded. So too, we want to be rewarded one day. And patience may be the key that unlocks that door that gives us much wealth. Two saints who partake of the kingdom and enjoy the wealth, the glory of God, are John and Thomas. John was a celibate. Thomas was a married man. Both were academics. Both died in the same year. Both were tortured before their death. Both are saints, and we shall honour them tomorrow. John Fisher was the Bishop of Rochester, and Thomas More was the Chancellor, the Prime Minister of England. Both had a friend in the past who was King Henry VIII. In fact, John Fisher was the spiritual director to Elizabeth, Henry's mother. John knew the family very well, as did Thomas More. Both were connected to this royal family. Both were favoured by the family until that issue emerged. The issue back in the 16th century is the same issue today, plaguing our political agenda. The issue is marriage. When you hear more about the push for same-sex legalisation of marriage, don't fall for the lie. Many people in England were conned at that age by lies. Today, the smokescreen of equality is fogging our vision. It's a smokescreen. It's not the facts. Let's pull back the artificial world and connect with reality. What is the issue here? The issue is marriage. What is it? Where does it come from? And where is it going? When someone talks to you about equality on this very topic, ask them one question. Does one have the right to steal? Now, there are thieves. We do know people who steal. But does one have the right to steal? Can we put that into law, that one has the right to steal? No, no, that's absurd to put into law that one has the right to steal. Well, what about, does one have the right to lie? People do lie, they tell fibs. But does one have the right to lie? Can we make that a law? No, that's absurd too. Well, why then do we want to redesign something that's not ours? You see, marriage doesn't belong to the church or the state. No government invented marriage. That's historical. All three main religions, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, acknowledge one person as the creator of marriage. That's God. It's a divine institution, not human. We humans didn't think it up. We didn't invent marriage. God did. And everyone's Bible talks about that. Male and female, he created them, and together they united. That's his package deal, the blueprint for humanity. And since it belongs to God, I don't have the right to take it from God. I don't have the right to steal something that's not my own. And that's the bottom line. That's what John Fisher and Thomas More confronted, marriage. Henry wanted to redesign marriage. He wanted a back door. He wanted divorce. And they said, we can't redesign marriage. It belongs to God. It's his institution. Henry pushed his law into that country and pushed the Catholic Church out. And with that, many suffered and died. And many today are suffering and will suffer if this law comes into reality here, as it has in many countries. Why? Well, because you can't take what's not yours. Once you steal from God, there are repercussions. There will be no marriage. You play around with the basics. You destroy the basics. You can't have, it's not a both and scenario. To make sense of that, let's say there's a minority group out there that say, we want 2 + 2 = 5. Now, we all know 2 + 2 = 4. That's a fact. That's reality. We can't change that. It's been like that many years. It's going to remain like that. But let's say this minority group keep pestering and pestering, and they get the media on side, and eventually people think, oh, well, does it really matter? Can't we just let them say it equals 5? The answer is no. We can't let them say it equals 5 because it doesn't equal 5. 2 + 2 must equal 4. To say let them say it's 5, we'll say it's 4. No, that's a lie. It's either or. You're correct or you're not correct. It's a right or a wrong. It's not a both and. We can't have both. It doesn't make sense. It's nonsense. And so too, to say marriage is anything other than one man and one woman is nonsense. And if we change that, with destroyed marriage. Destroy marriage, you destroy families. Destroy families, we have no future. And that's the bottom line. Henry destroyed marriage at the beginning by introducing divorce into Christendom. He started the crack. Now it's falling apart. What will we do to put it back together? Well, firstly, let's have some silence in our life. Disconnect from the media that is pushing an agenda. And through prayer, listen to God. And remind ourselves, like Job did, God is there. His presence is in our midst. But be patient. He will act. We must also do our bit. Thomas More and John Fisher prayed, and from their prayer they knew God's will, and then they prayed for the grace to do God's will. It's one thing to know what we ought to do, it's another thing to have the courage to walk the talk. They did, and they're saints today. Let us pray, therefore, that through our silence and prayer we receive the grace to not only endorse marriage, but to foster it and promote it, and to talk to our friends about it, and pull the hard issues down and put them on the table, and get rid of the smoke screen that fogs our minds and confuses our intellects. In doing so, we, like John and Thomas, these two great holy men of the 16th century, we too shall be witnesses of the faith, witnesses of love and of life. Praise be Jesus Christ.